Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
One of the characteristics that we find frequently manifested in the life of the Apostle Paul is his great joy and gratitude and thanksgiving. It just seems to ooze out of every seam in nearly every epistle that he writes. And he also frequently admonishes his readers to have the same attitude. We find that expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 1. When we come to verse 12, and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And we are taking note of this thanksgiving by Paul, and looking more closely to see exactly what it was that produced this gratitude in his heart. And on the broadcast yesterday, we saw that he was grateful for God's enablement. What God had enabled him to do that otherwise he never could have done. The enabling power to understand his sinfulness before a holy God. God's enabling power that enabled him to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sinners. And so forth. The enabling power of God in his life. We would probably more frequently call that grace. God's grace. And of course, that's exactly what God's grace is. It is God's enabling power. It is God's power applied to a particular point of need. We need grace for salvation. We need grace for trials. We need grace for daily living. We need grace for service, that is to serve the Lord. We need grace for every area of our life, and we become especially aware of the need of grace at particular junctures where we are challenged beyond our ability, and we know it. And that's good. When we are challenged beyond our ability, that's good. Why? Because that causes us to look to God and to rely upon Him and to seek His grace rather than our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ingenuity. When we recognize our weakness, then we receive God's power. Isn't that exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or I think it was 12, where Paul is recounting the time when he was caught up into the third heaven and then was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming too proud of his unique experience of being caught up into heaven and allowed to see things that other men, other apostles even, were not allowed to see. There was given to him a thorn in the flesh. He calls it a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. There's an awful lot to be learned in that passage. Who gave him the thorn in the flesh? Well, he says God did. Who gave him the thorn in the flesh? Well, he said it was the messenger of Satan. Which was it, God or Satan? Both. How can that be? They're enemies. They're at cross purposes. They are endeavoring to accomplish entirely opposite things in our lives. But that's the sovereignty of God, that He overrules the hostility, the opposition of men and demons and Satan himself. And He uses all of these things to accomplish His eternal purposes. It is an incredible fact. It is an incredible thought. It is an incredible study. But we need to meditate upon that more. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul said, "I besought the Lord three times for the removal of this." And I take that Paul was not talking about, there were three occasions when he thought to mention this in prayer. I think he's talking about three concentrated seasons of prayer. Very likely where Paul got alone somewhere, away from everybody else, away from ministry responsibilities, just alone with Paul and God, probably fasted and prayed for a season of time and asked God to remove this thorn in the flesh. Paul said, it's a hindrance to me. It's keeping me from accomplishing all that I would like to accomplish. And after all, what I'm endeavoring to accomplish, I'm endeavoring to accomplish for Christ and His kingdom. And this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was in the flesh. This thorn in the flesh, this difficulty, this trial, this sickness, this physical impairment, whatever it was, we do not know. But this thorn in the flesh, it's hindering me. I besought the Lord three times that He might remove it from me. And God's answer was, no. I have it there for a purpose, and I intend to leave it there. I have it there for a purpose, and it's not even there for a temporary purpose for me to remove later. I have it there for an ongoing purpose. But I tell you what, Paul, remember, my grace, there's our key word, grace. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what we're talking about. When we are weak, then He is strong. Or maybe to put it another way around, when we become aware of our weakness, then we look to God for help and His strength becomes manifested in our lives. It's not that our weakness makes God strong. He's strong all the time. He's omnipotent. He has all power all the time, 24/7, for all eternity. Our weakness doesn't make God strong, but our weakness makes us aware of our need of His strength. And then we apply at the throne of grace to receive that enabling strength. And it usually comes at a particular point of need when, because of sickness, because of the hostility of others, because of an impossible situation in our lives, we don't know what else to do. So we turn to God and call upon Him for His help. And being the gracious God that He is, He always comes to the aid of His children, though not always in exactly the way that we would think. In fact, I would say very seldom in exactly the way that we would think. Paul prayed for God to come to his aid to remove the thorn in the flesh. That's not how God chose to come to his aid. God didn't remove the thorn in the flesh. But you say, that's what I want. Yes, but that's not what God wills. Well, this is what is necessary to accomplish God's purposes in my life. Are you a better judge than God is of what it takes to accomplish God's purposes in your life? That's the way it seems to us. But as God responds and manifests Himself, then we also learn more about Him. He reveals Himself in these episodes of life. And we learn more about Him and His ways. And then we learn what He really wants to accomplish. He doesn't simply want to enable us, without any difficulty, to accomplish what we think ought to be accomplished. He wants to accomplish things through us in our weakness in such a way that it's evident that it's not us, but it's Him. And then He gets all the glory. My strength, said God, is made perfect or complete or mature or more active, more manifested, more powerful in weakness. Therefore, said Paul, having understood this, therefore, I will, rather, glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul learned the lesson. Not instantly. Three prolonged seasons of prayer. Three seasons of wrestling with God over a period of how long? We don't know. Weeks? Months? Years? Did Paul have this prayer retreat 1 year, waiting for an answer? It didn't happen. Go back another year, do it again, waiting for an answer. That is an answer of healing. And God didn't do it, and so he went back another year, had another prayer retreat, scheduled it in his busy schedule, and went off alone and spent some time with God, and finally got the message from God that I do not intend to heal you. I intend, rather, to enable you, to empower you with greater enablement in spite of your weakness. And Paul said, well, if that's the case, then I will glory in my infirmities. I will praise God for this trial. I will be grateful for my infirmity. And now we're getting back to our original theme of Paul's gratitude. Paul was a man of great gratitude and joy and thanksgiving in spite of incredible trials. As you know, if you've studied his life at all, and you wonder, how can that be? How can a man who has been as persecuted, as injured physically as often as Paul was. Read about it in 2 Corinthians. All the things that Paul went through, the imprisonments, the suffering that he endured for Christ. How could a man like that be so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving and joy? Well, because he had a relationship with Christ that enabled him to understand that it was precisely because of these infirmities that this unusual power of God rested upon him. In other words, Paul was able to accomplish the many things that he accomplished for the kingdom of Christ, the planting of many churches, the salvation of many souls, the writing of many books of our Bible, and the many things, the incredible witnesses that Paul bore at the seat of government, to kings and governors and those who are in authority, some of the wonderful things that Paul accomplished for the kingdom of Christ, that all of these things were accomplished not because Paul was strong and healthy and at the top of his game, but were accomplished precisely because Paul, laboring in weakness, in suffering, in difficulty, experienced a greater measure of God's enabling power that enabled him to accomplish what he could not have accomplished if he had had no hindrances, no illness, no infirmities, no sickness, no persecution, no obstacles. If Paul had been at the top of his game, unhindered, with every obstacle removed out of the way, he could not have accomplished what God accomplished through him in his weakness. Because nothing for eternity is accomplished apart from divine power, God's enabling power. And so Paul could give thanks even for the trials, couldn't he? When you see them in that light, then you can give thanks, can't you? Then you understand why these things aren't bad, they're good. Therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the lesson that Paul learned. And so he was thankful for enablement. I thank, 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. He knew where the power came from, and he knew in what way God chose to bestow it, and in what circumstances. And he was therefore able to give thanks even for the difficult circumstances. A wonderful lesson learned by the Apostle Paul, a wonderful lesson that needs to be learned by all of us. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.